Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and go to 1 John. 1 John. I resurrected an old message here this morning. I actually was asked to preach it about a month ago, and I've been putting it off and not preaching it. And then I've just run into people in my day-to-day life and ministry, and there's so many good people that don't know whether they're saved or not, don't know whether they are born again. And there's a reason for that. And I want to preach a message this morning, 10 reasons why I know I'm saved. You might know the Holy Spirit of God would lead me to preach a 10-point message in the hottest Sunday of the summer. But don't be fearful. It's going to be quick. Each point is going to be, it's going to be like machine gun. And I'm going to hit it and hit it hard and hit it strong and move to the next point. So you need to stay with me as best you can. Really, it would be you could call it a study of 1 John. That's what it is. It's what 1 John is all about. Last Monday, we had a funeral here at the church, and there was a funeral for our brother Steve Fader, and there were a lot of people. Actually, there were a lot more people here than I thought were going to come from the community and from the area, and I'm not begrudging anybody, but there were a lot of Salvation Army people here, and that was wonderful, and I stood up and just preached the gospel, and on the way out, a little old lady, if she's listening to the radio broadcast, and she may be because I told her when we were on, so I'm not calling you old, ma'am. I'm not, just an expression. A little old lady on the way out of the building that day took my hand and pulled me down close to her so that I could hear what she was saying. And she said, "That's the way we used to preach at the Salvation Army." And I bowed down and got down close to her and said, "I know. There's so many." Oh, and by the way, three people got saved. Three people were born again. I know it works. It's Jesus Christ. I know the gospel. It's very clear in the scriptures. I don't have to stand up and hem and haw and beat around the cow barn and be very nebulous and muddy the waters. I can tell you for certainty, because of the word of God, that Jesus Christ alone saves from hell. Jesus Christ alone is able to forgive sinners of all of their sin. I want you to know that it's not muddy. It's not a spiritual fog. Over 400 times in the Word of God, it says there is one way to heaven, and His name is Jesus. And you hear me quote this verse often. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's our only hope. He's all that we have. He's enough. He's all that we need. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Would to God that would be preached in every pulpit in Chippewa County this morning, so that people could plainly and clearly understand. So many people, I met more this last week, they go to some name church, some denominational church, and they hope they're saved. They think they're saved. I want you to know there is no reason to doubt your salvation. Look, before we read anything in 1 John and chapter 1, look at chapter 5 and verse 12. "He that hath the Son," verse 11, "and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son." There's no commentary needed there. Life is in the Son of God. "He that hath the Son hath life." Pretty forthright. "He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You're either saved or you're not. "These things have I written unto you," just in case you had some doubts. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may," what's the next word? "Know that ye have eternal life." and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. There's one way to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. I can stand before you this morning and tell you, I know that I know that I know that I am born again. This letter of 1 John was written by John about AD 90. And it was written that we might know that we have eternal life. And in knowing that we have eternal life, earlier on in the book, that your joy might be full. It's a great life if you'll follow God. If you get saved and you want to follow the world, it's not so great a life. A lot of heartache, a lot of fires, a lot of turmoil. But if you just get born again and follow God, it is a great life. It is great fellowship. You say, well, preacher, why do I doubt my salvation? There's two reasons for doubting your salvation. Number one, you doubt it because you're not saved. You're not born again. For whatever reason. You said some words, no conversion, didn't mean it in your heart. You did it to please somebody else. But you never repented of your sin. There's a reason to doubt your salvation. You're not saved. The other reason to doubt your salvation is you are living in habitual sin and you are not a student of the Word of God. If you were born again and you are a student of the Word of God, your faith would be fed. Even though we all sin, the Bible tells us over here in verse 10 of chapter 1, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So therefore, we've kind of come to this conclusion, everybody's a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. All 7 billion people on the planet today are sinners in need of Jesus Christ, the salvation that only he provides. And you either have it or you don't. It's that simple. Here in the auditorium this morning, if there's 400 people here, I don't know if there's quite that many. I think there probably is. 400 sweaty people sitting shoulder to shoulder and with difficulty trying to breathe and making your fan work. If there are 400 people here, there's probably some people here that doubt whether or not they're really saved. I want to give you, I titled the message, 10 Reasons I Know I'm Saved, but it really is 10 Evidences of Salvation. Because I got to tell you this, there's one reason I'm saved. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's it. He's my only hope. But there are evidences of salvation after you get born again. Number one, you might want to write these down. I'm going to make them quick. I'm not going to dwell on any of them any length of time. First of all, I know I'm saved. Here's an evidence. And I got to say this before I throw these 10 things out at you very quickly. Evidences do not save you. Only Jesus does. Please understand this. Good works are the fruit of salvation. They are not the root of salvation. Jesus Christ is salvation. I am the way. These evidences are evidences that I'm truly born again. And there's a battle going on in my life to maintain these 10 evidences. But they're there and they come from the inside. Number one, I thirst for God. Man, I want God. I want righteousness. I don't thirst for evil. I don't hunger for evil. I hunger for God. If you're someone that sits around waiting for others to fall into sin so you can talk about it, that is a red flag. Man, when I hear of someone else that's fallen into sin or done a terrible thing, it grieves my heart. I don't want to share it with anybody. Nobody. Because I'm grieved by it. It hurts. I know I'm a born again child of God because the Holy Spirit of God knows how to hurt. And the truth is this, I thirst for righteousness. When I hear something great that happens, I want to pass that on right now. I hear something evil that happens, I don't run, I don't call, I don't get on Facebook, I don't look for somebody to tell about it. That's a red flag. And that's all flesh is what that is. I thirst for God. 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Number one, I thirst for God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Maybe you'll turn over there. It's in the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. And I just want to share what Jesus said here this morning. We are to thirst for righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I cheer for right. I cheer for righteousness. You know why that is? It's not because of the old nature that's in me. I cheer for righteousness because I have the Holy Spirit living within me. Man, I want Christ to be exalted. I don't want him to get some kind of black eye because of something I've done or someone else has done. And I certainly don't want to throw wood in the fire when someone else has fallen into sin. I don't want to do that. I don't want to meddle. The Proverbs tell us all about that. I thirst for God. Ask yourself the question this morning. Examine whether ye be in the faith. Do you thirst for righteousness? Do you want to know God better? Do you thirst for right and for God? Number two, when I do sin, I'm miserable in my sin. Hebrews in chapter 12 and verses 6 through 7, don't turn there, but it talks about being chastised of God, the Holy Spirit, when we do wrong. I'm spanked when I do wrong because I'm a child of God and God loves his children. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 teaches. Therefore, when I choose sin, God keeps me on a short leash. I don't get very far and I'm spanked. When I was growing up, I know what it is to be spanked. I mean, when I got a whipping when I was a little boy, it was just something just short of the electric chair. I mean, it was there. I know that my dad not only spanked me himself and my mom spanked me herself, but they gave permission to all of my aunts and uncles and to all of my growing up. And I just happened to be in that time period where I was the oldest of the oldest son. So of all the cousins, and when we got together, a whole bunch of Raiders, it was never good. And you mix in a few Credimans with that, and it was not good. And it always come down to me because I was, even though I was only older by about a year, it all come down to me. I know what a spanking's all about. I really do. And God corrects me when I do wrong. I am miserable when I sin. And it isn't always physical correction. Sometimes it's just a grievance. Like, I failed you, God. And I know. And you know why I have those feelings? It's God, the Holy Spirit, inside me. 1 John in chapter 2, verses 4 and 6. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 6. He that saith, he abideth in him, out of himself also, so to walk, even as he walked. I run into him all the time, you do too, and God forbid that you ever have this attitude. Oh, I know it's wrong, but I'm a Christian saved by grace. Ha, ha, ha. You don't sound like someone that's saved. You sound like someone that's full of self-will. Someone that's going to go ahead and you're going to do what you want to do no matter what. You don't sound like someone who's miserable in sin. Number three, another reason I know I'm saved. 1 John chapter 2, look at verses 15 through 17. Thirst for God, miserable in sin. Number three, the world is not enough. Verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Once you taste and see that the Lord is good, the world will never be enough. You can't drink of the poisoned wells of our culture and be satisfied once you are born again. The beer never satisfies. The drug never satisfies. The immorality never satisfies. It is never enough. There's pleasure in sin for a season, for a short moment, and then afterwards you are totally defeated and empty on the inside. The world does not satisfy. The world is not enough to anyone who is truly born again. The music of this world rings hollow. I know this to be true. I grew up in a certain time. We all grew up, some of us grew up, all of us grew up in different times of the culture in which we are living. When I was growing up in the 60s especially, I was really hooked on the, what do you call it, doo-wop, all right? The close harmony stuff. That might be why I love gospel quartets so much. I don't know, but I was hooked on that. Now, I can be walking through Walmart, and an old song comes on, and it's there. Acid rock never did anything for me. Not even when I was my farthest from God. That's the last thing I was in the early 70s, it just did nothing for me. By the way, Elvis Presley singing Amazing Grace doesn't do anything for me either. You know, there's no testimony there. So it just rings hollow. You know, it just isn't there. I can walk through Walmart, hear an old song, and maybe it's even an instrumental kind of thing, and I go back in time, but It doesn't satisfy. By the time I'm to the end of the second song, I don't want any more. Because I feel dirty. I feel like I've drifted away from God. Someone who's truly born again, the world will never be enough. It will never satisfy. Because you've tasted of the goodness of God. Number four, the Holy Spirit is my teacher. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20 and verse 27. I thirst for God. I'm miserable in sin. The world is not enough. It doesn't satisfy. And the Holy Spirit is my teacher. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Look at verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about or what the Bible is talking about when we read these verses. A great evidence of being born again is the Holy Spirit is your teacher. Thank the Lord for pastors, even me. Thank the Lord, but the Holy Spirit is your teacher. In other words, you open the Word of God, and in your personal time, in the time that you study the Word of God, and line upon line, pretext, nothing out of pretext, and studying it in its context, God teaches you a great old truth. It might be new to you, but it's an old truth. And the light bulb comes on. And you get excited. Now, I'm preaching this right now, this point, and some of you have never had that happen. Because the Holy Spirit is not your teacher. Because you don't understand the Bible. Now, a babe in Christ isn't going to understand as much. So, you know, don't think, oh my goodness, I didn't understand a verse one time, and does that mean I'm not saved? No. But an evidence of salvation is the Holy Spirit teaches you. Even when the preacher's preaching, the Holy Spirit teaches you and you receive it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of God. Hold it at arm's length. Don't understand it anyway. Just kind of goes over the top. That's a religious kind of thing. That's not for me. Or that's for mom and dad. That's not for me. An evidence of salvation is the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He uses the Word of God. He illuminates it. That's the good theological word. No new revelation. It's really not a new truth. It might be new to you, but it's been there all along and others have got it. And he teaches you. Oh, that's what the pastor was talking about. Man, there it is in black and white. And you shout amen. Because the Holy Spirit is your teacher. I thirst for God. Good evidence of salvation. I'm miserable when I sin. Good evidence of salvation. The world doesn't satisfy. Good evidence of salvation. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. Evidence of salvation. Look at chapter 3 of 1 John and chapters 2 and 3. Chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. I look forward to the rapture. I am not fearing the second coming of Christ. I desire to be alive when Jesus comes. I want to hear the sound of the trumpet. You know why? I know it's true. I know what the Word of God teaches. It says here in verse 2 of 1 John chapter 3, Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I look forward to the rapture. I know the day is short. I know we're no longer in the last days, but in the last hours of the church age. I believe that with all of my heart. I know what the Bible teaches. I know a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. I know the Old Testament was 4,000 years. The New Testament is 2,000 years. And the Millennial Kingdom is 1,000 years. That equals 7,000 years total history for mankind. And a little sliver of the tribulation right in there in that time span. I know that the Lord God created this world and all that in it is in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. I understand the picture of the Word of God. I know that we are in the last days. I know it's the year 2015. I truly thought Christ was coming last year. He didn't. But God's not a liar. He made the promise. He said he's waiting for the latter rain, and we're in it. And this is our opportunity. to be that Philadelphia church and honor God, there's no reason to doubt your salvation. I've already taken my 30 minutes for the radio. I'm halfway through this message. I'm not going to carry it over to next Sunday morning. I'm going to preach the last. I got more things to say, but I'm going to preach the last 5 points tonight. We're going to go ahead and push ahead Acts in chapter 24 till next Sunday night. I got it ready. It's pretty good stuff. But I'll just preach the last 4-5 points of this message tonight. You say, preacher, I truly wonder whether or not I'm born again, whether or not I'm really saved. I've gone through 5 evidences so far, right out of one book. There's 10 of them in this one book. Thirst for God, miserable in sin, the world doesn't satisfy, the Holy Spirit is my teacher, I'm looking forward to Jesus' soon return. These are evidences of salvation. I want to say this. They are not what saves you. You see, you could somehow listen to a happy song and look forward to the rapture. That's not salvation. You could be someone that once in a while thirsts for God, or once in a while you're miserable because of your sin. That's not salvation. That's not the reason you're saved. Those are evidences of salvation. The reason we're saved is Jesus Christ. Look at that last chapter of the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Wouldn't it be terrible to end this life having attended a good church, maybe having been instructed by Sunday school teachers, mom and dad, knowing all the facts, and go to hell because you were never born again? You worked on the evidences, but you never repented of your sin and asked Jesus to save you. You literally miss heaven by about 18 inches. You knew it all here, but you never received Christ here. You had all the words. You got it all. You know how to act the parts. But you were never regenerated. Never born again. You know how to be regenerated? Receive the Son in all His glory. And what He did at Calvary. And this is the record. That's what the book's about. That God hath given unto us eternal life. God gave eternal life. He's the source. And this life is in His Son. It's in Jesus. He that hath a Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. I know it's hot. I'm sweating profusely. My jacket is soaked. My shirt is soaked. It's hot on this platform. Sweat is in my eyes. I want you to know this. Concentrate. Jesus Christ is your only hope of eternal life. Pastor Rader isn't going to get it done. Being a Baptist isn't going to get it done. The law isn't going to get it done. Good works aren't going to get it done. You need to be born again. You need to be regenerated. If these things, these first five, aren't in your life, you've got to come to Christ. Because you can tell me you're saved all you want, but if these things aren't in your life, you're hollow. I'll hit the last 5 tonight. But let's quietly bow our heads and close our eyes.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.